Good morning, church. Am I on? Good to be here this morning. I hope you've been encouraged this morning already.
Yeah.
What a lovely time of praise and worship we had this morning. And what can I say? It's amazing to be in the house of God this morning. Yes, I am going to be talking on being encouraged. Being encouraged. Now, if you came here this morning discouraged, but I'm going to tell you now, you're in the right place. You're in the right place if you've come discouraged this morning. Also, if you're okay, if you think you're okay, ticking along nicely, I want you to be encouraged. If there's anything that I want you to take away this morning, it's those two words up there, be encouraged. If you don't listen to anything else I say, I want you to be encouraged. That's why I put it on a big post up here. Be encouraged. It's good to be encouraged. And we've come today into the house of God to be encouraged for our praise and worship and through the word as God leads me. So what does encouragement mean? I looked at this. What does encouragement mean? What does it mean to be encouraged? And I looked it up, and the first thing it says, to call to one side. To call to one side. To get alongside somebody, to encourage them. To get them alongside you. To help them. To console them if they're upset. And to strengthen. Now, they're the three things that encouragement means. We can all remember in our days at school and when we were growing up, that when our mother and father gave us encouragement, all of us in here have been encouraged at some point or another. It could be anything from a good boy, well done, good boy, good girl, you've done well, excellent, great job, excellent job, keep going. Keep going. And many things like that. At the sports day, go for it. Give it your best. So all of us at some point have been encouraged from our school days. And hopefully today we continue to be encouraged and be an encouragement to others. Now, I was breaking through my drawer. I'm sure, who's got a drawer at home that's full of stuff like old batteries, old... Come on, be honest. Be honest. I have, everybody has. Chuck it in the drawer. You know, old batch, chuck it in the drawer. That autobiography I've read, chuck it in the drawer. And soon you get a drawer full of junk, don't you? And I was sorting out my tidy junk drawer. And then I came across these. And I thought it'd be good to read some of these out. When I was at school, very many years ago, I did go to school as well, every Friday afternoon, the headmaster would get up and he would present a certificate or one of these little cards, okay? And I'm going to read you something out. And these go back, I've got the date on some of these, 1976, so we'll work that out, a long time ago. A long time ago. 30 something years ago. So they've been in my drawer that 40 years. So I've never thrown them away, I've always kept them. And I'm going to read you something out. They all start with my name, and it says, for good all round progress. There you go, for all good round progress. And a gold star at the top. So you'd come up, I'd go up, and the headmaster would shake my hand, well done. And from an early age, we have been encouraged, hopefully. Another one. For working conscientiously this term. Another gold star. Hard work in English. For effort and willingness to try. Effort in English. Perhaps I had a problem with English, I don't know. And this one's a good one. For a very good stained glass window. I don't know what was going on there, but all the way through our life, we've been encouraged to do good and to, you know, give it our best shot. Now, So that's over the years we've remembered to we've been encouraged and we've been given encouragement, and it's a great thing to be given. I hope that we've been encouraged this morning. I was encouraged through that praise and worship. Anybody else was? I was. And you know, if you're coming here this morning discouraged, we need to be encouraged. Okay? The men and women of the early church were willing to encourage each other. And their faithfulness demonstrated the power of the gospel to their generation. It goes a long way. It does go a long way. I wonder if you turn with me this morning to, it won't be up here, it's only a short, very short passage. I wonder if you turn with me to Hebrews 10, and we're going to read from verse 19 to 25. And it's on page 1068 of the Church Bible. Okay, Hebrews 10, 19 to 25. And it's headed, hold fast your confession. Hold fast, hold fast. If you hold fast onto something, you're holding onto it with all your might. Hold fast your confession. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he consecrated for us, through the veil, that is, his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God. Let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Now, I'm going to come back to that in a minute. Just keep your Bibles open there at Hebrews 10. Keep your finger in there. We're going to come back to it. Now, over the last few months, I've been looking at and reading and watching documentaries on this place. Does anybody know where that is? No? Everest. Well done, Mark. We'll give you the gold star. There you go, geography. Mount Everest. Now, I've been watching a document. I've watched a documentary on this, and I read a book quite recently on Everest. And it's very, very, very interesting. If you don't know, I'll give you a couple of facts about Everest. Does anybody know how high it is? Go on, Colin. Spot on. Just over 29,000 feet. Now, when you think that when you go on your holiday in an aircraft flies, a commercial aircraft flies between 28 and 35,000 feet. So it's higher than when you look out that aircraft window going on your sunny holiday to France or wherever. So it's the highest mountain in the world. Now, when I watched this program and read this book about these conquerors that have conquered Everest, I've got 5 points that I want to quickly share with you. First of all, they were well equipped. Now, it's no good climbing Mount Everest in your flip-flops and your shorts. You just never, you do 2 feet and then 2 feet and then you'd have to, you know, go back. So they are well equipped. And you can see there, that is one person's amount of equipment they would have to take up Everest. Secondly, I observed that they never ever go by themselves. There's always someone with them. It'd be stupid to go and climb up there by yourself. You'd never do it. So always climb together. Thirdly, they are roped together. And you can see the rope there between the two guys. Why do you think we've got that? It's a safety rope. If one falls, then hopefully the other one can pull him up and help him if he starts to slide down the mountain. So they're always roped together and they communicate. Fourthly, the climbers, they have to climb the mountain in stages. Now, that is Mount Everest, And you see the base camp there at the bottom, and then they climb up to the advanced base camp. But when they get up to that, they have to go back to the base camp. Then they go back from the base camp up to the advanced camp because of the altitude, because it's so high, they get altitude sickness. So when they reach the advanced base camp, then they go up to the next part, which is the North Col. Then they go back from the North Col down to the base camp and so on until they find their way up to the top. They just don't climb up to the top. That's the fourth thing. And if they've got the determination and courage to get to the top, they will achieve it by doing that. If they went straight to the top of the mountain, there's just no way that they would be able to do that, to get acclimatized to it. And then lastly, when they get to the top, they put their stake in the ground. And if you look on the internet at Mount Everest and photographs, you can see there's flags, there's pictures, there's all sorts of stuff that they've put on the top of the mountain. The highest mountain in the world. You are literally on top of the world there. So that's a little bit about Everest. And, you know, we can compare this to our life, can't we? This Everest and what those climbers have to go through. Now, all of us have mountains to climb, don't we? Some mountains are huge in front of us, like Everest, whereas others are just tiny little hillocks. We all have different mountains in our life to climb. Now, some higher than others, but we can put our trust in Jesus that we can get to the top and we can conquer that mountain. Now, I've got a few things in here because I want to encourage you this morning, okay? And I'm going to slap some things, words up on the wall here. And even if you just take one of these away with you, not literally, but in your mind, then that'll be good this morning. So first of all, we have to trust, okay? We need to trust in God. Like those guys put their trust in their fellow mountain climbers to get up to the top. In Proverbs 3 and verse 5 and 6, we read this. Proverbs 3:5-6, page 561. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Trust in the Lord. So if you've got a mountain to climb, trust in the Lord. Let's go back to Hebrews. Back to Hebrews 10. And we're going to look at this, we're going to dissect this, and we're going to have a look to see what we can get out of this morning. Now, verse 19. Therefore, brethren, having boldness, or another word for boldness, confidence. Okay? Have we come with confidence this morning? Have we come with confidence this morning that Jesus is in charge? That he is on our side? When you climb the mountain, you need to have trust and you need to have confidence. No good going up there if you're not confident. You'll be home straight away. If you're thinking, oh, it's freezing cold, I'd rather be in bed. You need to have confidence. And this morning, we've come, still in verse 19, we've come this morning here, and we've entered into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. What an awesome privilege we have here this morning. Do you know what? We're standing on holy ground this morning. Standing on holy ground. What a privilege. Where else can we stand on holy ground? Be encouraged. We're standing on holy ground this morning. We sung earlier, Jesus is our refuge, our strength. And we need to really grab hold of that, not just sing it. He is our strength and our confidence this morning. Now, and also he's our refuge. Without Jesus, what would we do? He is our refuge. By the blood of Jesus, OK, carrying on in verse 19. By the blood of Jesus. Jesus went to the cross for us. Why? Why did Jesus go to the cross for us? We all know. He went so that you and I could be here this morning and have an eternal life. Jesus had a big mountain to climb, didn't he? And that was the cross put in front of him. We know this mountain was removed and he conquered the cross when he rose. And we're going to celebrate that soon in a couple of weeks at Easter. We know he conquered his mountain and he arose. So, next thing, are we conquerors this morning? We need to conquer whatever we're going through. We need to try and conquer. Jesus is our conqueror, is our refuge, is our confidence, is our trust. Verse 22. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance. Have we an assurance this morning in Jesus? Do we know that he is there and that we have an assurance of faith through him? Having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us have faith. Let us have faith this morning. They can't climb the mountain without faith. They need faith. All these things God gives us. And when we're climbing that mountain, we need these things. If we're going to defeat a mountain that is set before us, we need to draw near to God and have a clear conscience. The Bible reminds us that God is always there to help. It's full of great encouragement in here. It's just unbelievable. In Romans 8, verse 31, another well-known passage, it says this. Romans 8 and verse 31, page 1005. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? If God is for us, who can be against us? What an amazing verse that is. What an amazing verse that is. God is here this morning and is here to help us. Verse 23. But I see another... back to Hebrews. Back to Hebrews 10, verse 23. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who promised is faithful. It doesn't say he might be faithful when he likes what he wants to. It says he is faithful. When I was studying for this, in my Bible it said, let us hold fast unswervingly. What a lovely word, unswervingly. Unswervingly. What does it mean? Unswervingly. To hold firm. Constant. Constant. It's not a changing hope. He gives us hope unswervingly this morning. Jesus is our only hope and our strength. Have we a hope this morning for what we have got in front of us? Have we strength? Have we strength? Those guys climbing the mountain there, I would imagine that they would have some sort of fitness program before they go up. They just wouldn't just eat 5,000 tons of chocolate and run up there. They would have to be prepared for it. And you can see it's so high, you have to wear an oxygen mask because it's so high. And they would have to prepare for that as well. So Jesus is our only strength and our hope. Not the world. We know that is not the way to find strength and what it has to offer. As we all know, it's just getting worse and worse. But we have a faithful God, don't we? Amen. Amen. In Isaiah 40 and verse 31, we read this. Isaiah 40 and verse 31. And I like this. I like all these scriptures that I'm reading here. But this one is a real good one. A real good one. Isaiah 40, verse 31. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. We need to wait on the Lord, and he shall renew your strength. Going back to Hebrews, I'm jumping around a bit here this morning, but going back to Hebrews 10 and verse 24. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. Let us stir one another up with love and good works. Now, if we know that someone's feeling down, or if they're, you know, if it's someone's birthday, we send them a birthday card, or if it's Mother's Day or Father's Day or Christmas Day or Boxing Day or Easter Day, we send a card, don't we? So how lovely it is to get a card through the letterbox. Good old card. Get your fingers around it and open up that envelope rather than an email. You can send an email, nothing wrong with that. You can call them, or you can do a visit. So there's lots of ways that we can encourage people. Or if you wanted to, you could even send them a gold star. But it's good to encourage one another, to get alongside one another if the other person is feeling rubbish. And how nice it is when that person comes along and says, come on, let's go and have a coffee or an ice cream cake. You know, it's nice to encourage one another. All these ways are good ways to show encouragement and to lift someone's spirit up. Also to help them, just like Jesus did. He went around this earth helping, didn't he? He was not only a worker, he was a helper. He was an encourager to his disciples everywhere they went. So let us stir up love and good works. All these ways are good ways to show encouragement and to lift someone's spirit up. Also to help them, just as Christ helped others. Like I just said, he went around with his disciples, didn't he? Helping others. And it's good to help each other, whatever we're going through. And God gives us that help. So let's give it to others. We can also turn to the Bible, like I said earlier. It's full of encouraging things. If you want to be encouraged, just read God's word. Psalm 121, verses 1 and 2. Another well-known part of scripture. Psalm 121, verses 1 and 2. I will lift my eyes up to the hills. Where does my help come from? From whence my help comes from. Sorry. I will lift up my eyes to the hills. From whence comes my help? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He made that Mount Everest. He made that Mount Everest, he's made everything. What a wonderful God. I don't know if you've ever been to the mountains, but I'd encourage you to go. If you've never been to Switzerland or Austria or the Canada, the Rockies, or somewhere where there's mountains, just go. If you've never been, just, if you've got the chance, go. And you'll be amazed how awe-inspiring they are to stand at the bottom of a mountain and just look at the awesomeness. It just makes you... Well, this makes you feel about that big. Well, not even that big, a pinhead. It's just awe-inspiring. And when you get up there, and if you get a chance, get on a cable car. You can walk, get on a cable car, pay to go up to the top, you haven't got to ski down, you can get the cable car. Go and have a look. It's incredible. And God's creation and what he's created. Also, we're not alone. Jesus is with us wherever we go. When we're climbing that mountain, just like those climbers, or whether we have our own mountain to climb, we are not alone. There's always someone there to help us. And the main person is Jesus. He is always with us, 24 hours a day. We can be encouraged from the verses that we've heard this morning. We can be encouraged by all those words that I've put up there this morning. We can be encouraged how those climbers climb together. So, in summary, do you have a mountain in front of you this morning? Just like that picture there. Do you have a mountain in front of you this morning? It doesn't have to be a big mountain like that. It could be a small little hillock. Do you know what? I've got good news for you. You can climb that mountain. God is with you. And God is with you and myself this morning. We can climb it. He's given us the right equipment. He's given us the right equipment. What equipment has he given us? God's word. He's given us each other. And he's given us prayer. We can climb that mountain. Just like those climbers, they need the right equipment. They cannot climb without the equipment. Like I said, they cannot climb up there in flip-flops and shorts. It would be stupid to do so. But God's given us the right equipment to have that mountain conquered. Secondly, turn to Jesus for help. He's always there. He's always there. Jesus helps us to see our mountain clearly. And when we can climb that mountain more effectively with his help. Don't do it alone. Don't do it alone. You would not climb Everest in bad weather. They have to plan their slot to climb up there. They just can't climb any time of the day or night. They have to get up very early in the morning before sunrise and they climb. Do not climb alone. Whatever you're going through this morning, whatever your mountain is in front of you. Be strong. Be strong. Be strong. Get someone alongside you. You're not alone. Jesus is always with us. Just like the climbers are roped together when they climb. Have a guess who's on the end of our rope? Jesus. Jesus is on the end of our rope. He's got a big rope tied around his waist. And he's tied across here and across his back. And he's there. He's there. As we climb, he is there. And if we fall, what does he do? He pulls us up. Don't fall. Don't fall. I am with you. Trust in me. Have confidence. I'm your refuge. You can conquer. I am your conqueror. I'm your assurance. Do you have faith? Have hope in me. Have strength in me. Love me. I will help you. You're not alone. You can overcome the mountain. Jesus can give you the determination and the trust to conquer the mountain. And also there are others that can come alongside you. Like I've just said, the battle belongs to the Lord. And just to finish, Psalm 46 and verse 1. What do we read there? Another very, very well-known passage. Psalm 46 and verse 1. Page 504. God is our refuge and strength. A very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, even though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. God is our refuge and our strength. So remember that the men and women of the early church were willing to encourage each other, and their faithfulness demonstrated the power of the gospel to their generation. God asks no less of you and me today. And one more thing before I finish. I'm going to read you this out. And this is hopefully will encourage you. And it comes from Psalm 23. And I want this just to come and help me. Just to read this out with me. Okay, this is the Psalm 23. Okay, and we're finished with this. The Lord is my shepherd.
That's relationship.
I shall not want.
That's supply.
He maketh me to lie down in green pastures.
That's rest.
He leadeth me beside still waters.
That's refreshment.
He restoreth my soul.
That's healing.
He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness.
That's guidance.
For his namesake.
That's purpose.
Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death.
That's challenge.
I will fear no evil.
That's assurance.
For thou art with me.
That's faithfulness.
Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me.
That's shelter.
Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies.
That's hope.
Thou anointest my head with oil.
That's consecration.
My cup runneth over.
That's abundance.
Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life.
That's blessing.
And I will dwell in the house of the Lord.
That's security.
Forever.
That's eternity.
Amen. Amen. We're going to close with a song now. And please stay for refreshments afterwards. If you want prayer, you can come to the front, or you can see Jim, Colin or Mark, and they will be happy to pray for you. Don't go away this morning feeling encouraged or discouraged. Encouraged, is there any such a word? Could do better in English. Don't go away from this morning being discouraged. God is with us. Even if you take two words away, be encouraged. Amen.